This is a conversation with mayoral candidate Michael Barnes. He is 44, an attorney, and also the mayor pro tem on the Charlotte City Council. That's the number two. It's elected by the other members of the city council and means that when the mayor is not there to hold the gavel and control the meetings, that Michael Barnes does it. Maybe the best way to start here. You are the mayor pro tem right now, which in some ways is kind of the best of both worlds. You know, unlike the mayor, you also get a vote on the different issues. So what is it that makes you want to be mayor?
It is true that city council members have more power. I think the fun part about serving is being in a position to represent the city in very positive ways in terms of the growth and talking about the growth of Charlotte. But also the mayor serves as the city's chief cheerleader. And I'm very proud of the work I've done in Charlotte. I'm very proud of Charlotte, proud of North Carolina. And so when I go around the city, when I travel in other places, I talk about the great things that are happening in Charlotte from the Blue Line extension to all the residential development, the retail development that's occurring in the city. And a lot of people are jealous of that because there are a lot of cities that don't have the levels of investment, both from the public sector and the private sector, that Charlotte has.
Now, when you're talking about cheerleading, though, one of the things that of course, we've seen recently is the city has had an interesting relationship with Raleigh. And when you're, you know, cheerleading for the city of Charlotte and on things like the budget, for instance, what do you think of that relationship with Raleigh?
There are some very reasonable people in Raleigh who aren't in control right now. Unfortunately, a lot of the leadership tends to be very far right to most North Carolinians, or at least many North Carolinians. And that does create some challenges for the larger metro areas of the state. But what I've noticed is that if you look at the triad, if you look at the triangle, Charlotte, Asheville, Wilmington, you've got local leaders who are very much invested in seeing their cities thrive and are doing what they need to do on the local level to make things work in their cities. So regardless of what's happening in Raleigh, people are working to make things happen in their cities. I think the greatest threat to the health and prosperity of the state right now is this proposed sales tax redistribution plan, which could have a very damaging impact on large metro areas and will force the local city councils and county commissions to raise taxes. You can't sustain that sort of revenue loss without making it up some way or shutting down city departments and city services or county departments and county services. So as far as I can tell right now, that would be the single greatest threat from Raleigh to the cities.
And what do you do about that? As mayor pro tem, what do you do?
Here's what I think we should do and will do. It is to make provisions within our own budget, either on the saving side or the cutting side, and maybe if necessary, depending upon how dramatic the redistribution plan would be, you may have to look at raising taxes. I think we all want to avoid that. I've always tried to avoid it. But if you're looking at losing, policemen, firemen, entire county departments on the county side or entire city departments on the city side, it may be something that the elected leaders have to consider.
Now, you voted against the most recent budget.
I did.
And the main reason, as I recall it from the meetings, was because there was a property tax increase as part of the budget.
That was part of it. But remember, I talked about the fact that I had actually offered up adjustments or cuts to spending, and none of them were received. And so it's hard for me to raise taxes on people when we haven't really made any significant adjustments inside.
What would you have liked to have seen cut?
I think we could have made cuts to some of the financial partners. We have a lot of financial partners, people who get money from the city. And I proposed a 10% across the board reduction. That didn't work. I proposed a 5% reduction. That didn't work. And so it became clear to me that people had their sacred cows and weren't going to look at asking these partners to sacrifice at the same time that we're asking the public to sacrifice.
Now, when we're talking about like the sales tax redistribution, for instance, or whether it's that or whether it's other tax changes further restrictions on what local governments can get in terms of revenue from their citizens. Do you feel that, you know, in the future here, you would have to look at raising taxes more? Do you feel like there's anything else that we can do in terms of talking to lawmakers in terms of preventing some of these things? Are we at their mercy?
There are a couple of things. One, keep in mind that the city only has two means of raising revenue, the property tax and fees. So we can either raise taxes or raise fees in order to generate revenue, or we can look at cutting costs, which, again, I think we should have considered more seriously. But as the city's growing, we've got, I believe it's 64, 65 people per day moving to Charlotte. It's not going to get cheaper to provide services, transit, police, fire protection. That stuff's not going to get cheaper. And so the question will become, do you raise taxes in order to pay for it if, in fact, the redistribution plan is passed, or do you look into some other direction? Now, here's the great thing about it. As I understand it, the Speaker of the House, Speaker Moore, has indicated that he doesn't see a lot of support for this most draconian plan in the House. And hopefully that's true. If there is a plan that's passed, hopefully it'll hold us harmless to some extent and allow us to keep most of the revenue that's generated in Charlotte and in Mecklenburg County. But there are people in Raleigh who are in control who don't really care about or respect the needs of Charlotte and Mecklenburg County or Raleigh and Wake County or Asheville and Buncombe County, and that creates a lot of negative pressure on those cities and counties.
Would you say it's fair to describe you as one of the more conservative Democrats on the Charlotte City Council?
I'm a moderate Democrat. I know there are people who will say that I am conservative in every way, but I consider myself a moderate. But ultimately, I don't really care what people think of the label, you know, how they want to label me. That's their business. I just do what I think is right for the city. Sometimes that seems left. Sometimes it seems right. I think I spend most of my time in the middle.
Sure. Okay. And some of the ones that jump out at me when I think about sort of you diverging from some of the other Democrats on the party, of course, the streetcar.
Yes.
You've opposed that project. Do you want to talk a little bit about why?
Sure, I can. So remember that the streetcar is a part of the 2030 plan, which contained the blue line, which runs north-south. It contains the silver line, which is to run east along Highway 74 towards Union County. It contained the red line, which was to run from uptown to Mooresville, to the town, well, not quite to Mooresville, but to the towns to the north, Huntersville, Cornelius, Davidson, and to Mount Mourne in the southern part of Iredell County. And the streetcar was designed to or planned to run from the Rosa Parks Center over off of Beatty's Fort Road, down Beatty's Fort Road through uptown across Trade and out Central Avenue to the old Eastland site. And the challenge that I've always had with the project is it has no dedicated funding source. The blue line has at least five funding sources: the state contribution, the local sales tax contribution, the federal government's significant contribution of 50%, the fares themselves, and then maintenance of effort money that comes from the city. Up to this point, the streetcar has had two funding sources: the taxes from the city and a federal grant. And in my estimation, it doesn't make any sense to spend what could be up to $600 million building out that system without some more dedicated funding. That was why a couple of years ago I proposed looking at a synthetic TIF district or a special assessment district, STIFs and TIFs and SASs.
Now put this in the least technical terms that you can.
So the idea would be to assess a special tax for the properties that are along the alignment for the streetcar to at least help pay for it. Right now, it's a free ride. As you know, the existing portion is a free ride. But I talked about doing that, but apparently none of the property owners was interested in participating.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that to be surprising and disappointing. And so where we are right now is the city manager scraped together the $75 million. We are seeking a federal grant of $75 million to match that, which would extend the line from where it currently is, from the transportation center in Uptown to J.C. Smith, and from the Novant hospital area out Elizabeth, down Hawthorne, mm-hmm. to Sunnyside Drive.
It would make it about a 3 mile as opposed to the current 1.5 mile.
I think
mile.
They said four total.
Yeah.
2.5 plus 1.5.
Right, yeah,
four.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So let me just, I'm just looking through here and, sure. and see if there's other things that we want to touch base on. Yeah, just in a couple of minutes left here. I mean, one of the other big responsibilities, of course, for city council and for the mayor is the city manager. Mm-hmm. Right now we have a city manager, Ron Carley, who came down from Arlington. How's he doing?
I think Ron has found himself in an unenviable place. You know, when he got here, the airport controversy was going on, and we've had one sort of crisis after another. I think that he has had an interesting learning curve with how things have been done in Charlotte, and I think that he has a heart for what he does, which we all appreciate. I sometimes question the outcomes of some of the things that we've done. But I think he's tried to do what he thought was right.
As mayor, do you push for him to continue on, or do you push for somebody else?
I don't know yet. One, I haven't been elected, and so I'll cross that bridge when I get to it.
Okay, great. And then you know, the other thing I just think we want to talk about is in light of the Carrick trial, Ferguson, Charleston. You know, Charlotte has also been rated. Some of the worst for economic mobility for people who are in sort of economically distressed, being able to move into higher incomes. What do you think is the city's role in trying to alleviate that or deal with that?
The role that I would play as mayor would be to advocate for very strong public education. The best way to get out of an impoverished circumstance in this country is through education. And so I think the mayor should advocate for strong quality public schools. As you know, the schools don't fall under the city council, but the mayor has a bully pulpit on a lot of issues. And so there are a couple things. One that I'm doing now as chair of economic development is working to diversify the mix of businesses that we're working to recruit, from blue collar oriented companies to white collar companies, to at least give people who don't necessarily have an MBA an opportunity to pursue a career in Charlotte. But also I think that working with CMS, the school board, and state leaders to figure out how to strengthen public education will be key. There are too many children who do not get the sort of education that you're going to need to be prosperous in the 21st century. And the onus is on us as adults and leaders to work to improve that.
Sure. And you just talked about the Economic Development Committee, and you know, speaking of that, last night the when we were having this conversation, the City Council voted to approve some local incentives for dimensional fund advisors, mm-hmm. And you supported that, and that's to bring a financial company large salaries, $150,000 almost salaries on average,
right.
East Coast headquarters here to Charlotte. We've also had some sort of high profile. You know, struggles with in terms of companies we've given incentives to, whether it's Chiquita, mm-hmm. Which you know was here quick turnaround and then left, and now we're trying to get our money back from them, and the state is as well, and then also in sort of a different scenario, the NASCAR Hall of Fame, for instance, had some struggles. What do you feel like is the role of incentives, and how do you choose the right companies, or can you choose the right companies?
I think it is – you've got a few things going on. You've got a lot of political leaders who want to say, ooh, look, I've gotten X number of headquarters, X number of jobs recruited, which is a valid issue to proclaim. But the way I have looked at incentives for the 10 years I've been on council is to say that – they should be used where, one, the company really needs the incentive to relocate to Charlotte or to expand in Charlotte. But also, because the economy has turned around significantly since the downturn, I struggle with giving incentives now to companies that are making tremendous amounts of money. We gave an incentive. I voted against it some years ago, but we gave an incentive to a company that had made $60 billion the year before. And it didn't make sense to me that we would give them more money when they were doing fine. And so I get the game that we're in versus South Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee, Georgia. I get the game we're playing. But I'm hoping that more states and more leaders will realize the morality of the incentives game, and then also think about whether it's in the long-term best interest of their states and cities.
Yeah. And then I guess just the last thing before we go over here, I want to ask you just a little bit about the mayor's race in general. You know, one of the other kind of big candidates that we're looking at, of course, will be the current mayor, Dan Clodfelter. Is it a surprise to you that he's running?
Yes.
Why is that?
Because he told me he wouldn't.
He said
before we appointed him, he and I met and talked, and I explained to him that the historical precedent of the council was that if we appointed people, that they would agree not to run. When Susan Burgess passed away, her son was appointed. He committed to not running. When Patsy Kinsey was the mayor for a short period, when Anthony went to Washington, Billy Madelon agreed that he wouldn't run for the seat. And Patsy agreed that she wouldn't run for mayor. And so there's been this gentleman's agreement that people won't run. And Dan committed to that and subsequently changed his mind. And so that's been quite disappointing for me, but that's the nature of politics.
Gotcha. Is there anything else while we're here that you want to say? It's kind of a classic reporter's question.
Absolutely. I think that people who live here should be excited about Charlotte. There's a lot of growth occurring in our city. You see the orange barrels all over the city from road construction projects to the Blue Line extension and all the work associated with that. We're building sidewalks and other infrastructure all over the city right now. The council passed its $816 million community investment plan or capital investment plan, and the voters approved the first tranche of bonds last fall. So we're beginning to prepare to spend that money to improve the city. So there's a lot of great stuff happening in Charlotte, a lot of great opportunity in the city, and I think people should be excited about that. Yes, we have some challenges regarding mobility and some of the pressures that come with growth. But if you step back and look at whether a city is dying or thriving, we're thriving. And most people want to be in a thriving city, not a dying city.
What's your 30-second elevator pitch for why people should vote for you?
That over the last 10 years, I have been a reasonable and consistent voice of leadership in this city, that I have done what I thought was right, that I have always tried to spend the public's money wisely, and spoken up and done what was best for Charlotte.
Great. Well, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks.